Well, let's pray as we open God's Word together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as we come to have a look at this section of Jeremiah, that you would help us to understand it, that you would help us to apply it to our lives, and to remember who you are and what you have done for us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So as Christians, we often expect that because we follow the Lord God, that everything in our life is going to go perfectly well. I know many people who have told me that they've tried Christianity before, but things didn't work out as they'd hoped, and now they're looking to some other religion. We hope, as Christians, that God will honor our own plans, our own thoughts, our own ideas, and that all people will like us. Yet, in reality, life is anything but that. Job, you remember the man Job in the Old Testament, Jeremiah himself, as did others, question God as to why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. In fact, the righteous Jeremiah, who has warned the people of their sinfulness and their unfaithfulness to God, is not at all liked. He has shown the people of Israel how their trust in the temple, remember they thought of the temple as some sort of lucky charm, how that was wrong. Jeremiah has spoken to the people about God's covenant with them and reminded them that not only is there blessing in the covenant, but there is also a curse in the covenant. And Jeremiah has spoken to the priests of Israel and shown them how they are teaching the wrong things about God and failing to draw the people to the Lord himself. Jeremiah is facing a lot of struggles. He is doing what God wants him to do, and yet he is struggling. Some people might think and might argue that, well, maybe Jeremiah is not doing what God is wanting, and therefore he is struggling. But in these chapters this morning, chapter 11 and chapter 12 of Jeremiah, we see that Jeremiah is in fact wholeheartedly serving the Lord. Look at chapter 12 and verse 3. Hopefully you've got your Bibles open and you can follow with me. Jeremiah says to the Lord, "Yet you know me, O Lord. You know me. You see me. You test my thoughts about you." In other words, what Jeremiah is saying at this point is that, God, you know me. You know that I follow you wholeheartedly. You know that I am doing what you want me to do. You've searched me. You see my heart. And so Jeremiah is saying here, I am faithful to you. So surely Jeremiah should be blessed by God, live a prosperous life among the people. Well, let's have a look and see what's happening to Jeremiah this morning. Two things, in fact, happening, and you'll see the title of my talk this morning, Life and Faith Threatened. So firstly, let's have a look at Jeremiah's life that is being threatened. Jeremiah was perhaps a little bit ignorant of the thoughts of the people at his time, because we read here in verse 18 that he didn't realize that the people were plotting against him. He thought he was well liked. He thought he was supported by the people. And he thought that his life was going really well. Until, that is, God reveals this plot against him. Verse 18, "The Lord revealed their plot to me." Jeremiah was so committed to doing the work of the Lord that he'd not known about this plot this plot against his life. In fact, in verse 19 he said, I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me. But because God was concerned about protecting Jeremiah, which you'll remember was part of God's call to Jeremiah that he would protect him and take care of him, he reveals this plot against Jeremiah. Now, it might be easy to think that this plot to kill off Jeremiah and whatever family he has was by some foreign group. It's easy to think that as Christians, we are sometimes have plots against us, and it's easy to point the fingers and say, oh, it must be Islam that's plotting against us. But look which group of people are plotting against Jeremiah. Verse 21, we read there that it is the men of Anathoth. Now, we might not know who those people are, but we do know from the early chapters of Jeremiah that Anathoth was the city or town in which Jeremiah himself lived. So the threat on Jeremiah's life is not from out there, it's from the people of his own town. Perhaps from people that he knows well. You know what it's like in a small town? We're always bumping into people that you know. Some you know personally and are good friends with. Others you just know through acquaintances, through various things that you might be involved with. Those were the people that were plotting against Jeremiah. In fact, they even command Jeremiah, verse 21, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands. Now, by right, the people of Israel were allowed to kill false prophets. It was part of the law. If someone falsely mentioned something from God that wasn't true, they were allowed to stone them. It was part of their law. And we see that happening time and time again with Jesus and the Pharisees, where the Pharisees tried to stone Jesus because they thought he was a false prophet. Is it possible that the people of Anathoth thought that Jeremiah was a false prophet because he was saying things that they didn't like? Telling them to stop doing them? Remember, there were many other prophets around the time of Jeremiah, and many of those prophets, in fact, Jeremiah even tells us about them, many of those prophets were telling people what they wanted to hear. And what do people want to hear? People want to hear that things are going to be all right with them financially, that their bank balance is going to be healthy. That's what all of us want to hear. We want to hear things like, my health is good, and I'm not going to be sick. And that's what these false teachers were teaching the people. But here comes Jeremiah who's saying, you are all wrong, you are wicked, you are disobeying God, God is going to bring judgment on you. Which one do you think people are more likely to want to listen to? And that's where the men of Anathoth come in and they say to Jeremiah, stop preaching these things in the name of the Lord. We don't like what you are saying. Stop it or we will kill you. Jeremiah has attacked the priests for failing to honor the Lord. He has attacked their trust in the temple, their superstition in the covenant. And if people had just opened up the portions of scripture that they had available to them and read through them, they might realize that actually what Jeremiah is saying is not false prophet material, but is true. But they don't like what he's saying, and so they want both him and his descendants dead. We read that in verse 19. But the threat to his life was not just by the local people of the town. Look at chapter 12, verse 6. Look what the Lord tells Jeremiah. He says, they're your brothers, your own family. Even they have betrayed you. Do not trust them, though they speak well of you. So not only is Jeremiah a threat from his home village, his hometown, but he's a threat in his own house, within his own family. Now, recall that there's another historical person who has been in a similar situation to this. He was under threat from people in his home village and more. He was under threat from his own family. And that is, of course, the Lord Jesus himself. He had to evade the priests because they constantly wanted to kill him. We read from early on in the Gospels that the priests were plotting to kill him. Even at times, Jesus' own family accused him. And you'll recall times where the family come to pull him away and say, come, eat, leave the stuff that you are doing. And Jeremiah is going through the same as what the Lord Jesus did. Friends, sometimes just because of the mere fact that we claim to follow the Lord Jesus is cause for people to dislike us. They accuse us. They point fingers at us. In fact, sometimes people in the church accuse us when we speak the truth and they don't want to hear it. Sometimes the accusations come from within our own families. Just because we are Christians, friends, does not exempt us from threats and even attacks on our lives. Last year, we were praying through the persecuted church of the world. And each week we would pray for a different country, for different groups of Christians that were persecuted for no other reason than they were Christian. And friends, that's happening here to Jeremiah. Paul, Peter, John, and others have all reminded us in their various writings that as Christians, we will face hard times for doing good. So how does Jeremiah respond to this threat on his life? How should we respond to such accusations and threats on our own lives? Well, have a look at chapter 11, verse 20. Jeremiah comes to the Lord in prayer. But, O Lord Almighty, you who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. Jeremiah doesn't seek to find vengeance for himself. He doesn't seek to justify his own actions. What Jeremiah does is he prays about this. He lifts these things up to the Lord. He calls on God to bring justice to these people. He calls on God to speak to them. And friends, that again is something that we should learn from Jeremiah. God is a God of justice. And therefore, even when we are facing injustice, we should pray to him that he would deal with that situation. Even when our lives are threatened, even when we are not as popular as we wish we were, we need to pray to God that God would deal with those people. Our natural reaction when someone attacks us, whether physically or verbally, is to try and explain things to them. Try to justify our actions. And often that doesn't work. Other times we just keep quiet and we build up that resentment and that anger within our own hearts and minds, looking for opportunities and ways to get back at them. But friends, God is a God of justice, and He will deal with each person accordingly. So God answers Jeremiah in verse 22, and He says, I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword, their sons and daughters by famine. Not even a remnant will remain. I will bring disaster on the men of Anathoth in the year of their punishment. So God will deal with those who accuse us. God will deal with those who threaten our lives, those who shun us. But He will do so in His own timing. By the end of Jeremiah's ministry, about 40 years down the line, the people of Israel were attacked by the Lord. Well, by a nation that the Lord sent. And they were destroyed. But it took 40 years for God to answer this prayer of Jeremiah. Now, friends, it might sound a bit cliched, but we should not seek justice for those that give us a hard time ourselves. We should bring them to the Lord, asking God to deal with them. So Jeremiah has a threat in his life. But there's actually something bigger at work here, more than just a threat on his life. And this is my second comment this morning, and this is a threat on Jeremiah's faith, which in my eyes, which in the eyes of God, I believe is worse than a threat on his life. Jeremiah's faith has been shaken. So, how does Jeremiah respond then to all this? And this is where chapter 12 comes in. As Jeremiah complains to the Lord, his faith is shaky because of this threat on his life. As Jeremiah notices the people of the world, he has this to say. I would speak to you, chapter 12, verse 1, about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them. They have taken root and they grow and they bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Job has very similar questions to the Lord, as do many other writers of the Bible. It's the time-old question, which is on our lips as well. Why does God not turn things around and bless those that follow Him and curse those who don't? Why does it seem like God has no concern for the faithful and the wicked, those who have got no regard for the Lord, seem to have everything working out for them? Well, God doesn't give Jeremiah an answer in this passage, but we know from other areas of the Bible that as Christians, we actually do have an amazing reward. God does bless Christians. Perhaps not now for the 60 or 70 or 80 years that God gives us in this world, but for eternity, we will have complete and total peace with God. Perhaps the answer is, well, the wicked live for today and therefore they have everything at their disposal, whereas we are living for the future and are not too concerned about having everything today. If we have everything today, why will we long for the future? That's what Peter brings up in his letter. We can live for God in the face of suffering because we have hope in heaven, in what God is promising for us. And so we live for God. But notice how God does answer Jeremiah. And this might be surprising to many of us. He doesn't give Jeremiah the answer that he's hoping for. He doesn't say to Jeremiah, well, I'm going to turn things around and make life good for you. God answers Jeremiah in verse 5. If you have raced against men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets of the Jordan? Do you see what God is saying to Jeremiah? You think things are bad now. You've only been running against men and you're about to run against horses. God says to Jeremiah, you've fallen flat on your face on a smooth, tarred road. How are you going to manage when you're in the mountains? One commentator says, this is what God is saying to Jeremiah. Cheer up, Jeremiah. It's about to get worse. Now, that might not be horribly helpful, is it? Might not be helpful to us, might not be helpful to Jeremiah. And perhaps that could rock our faith. But friends, the thing we need to remember in all of this as Christians is that life is not going to be fair for us. If we are truly following the Lord God, if we truly honoring Him and truly serving Him like we should, it might be possible that sometimes people will dislike us. Sometimes people will shun us. It will be possible sometimes that things will go wrong with us, especially when we stand up for the truth. You might recall when you were at school, or maybe you're still at school, if you ever stand up for the truth, people sometimes laughed at you. They would mock you. And so sometimes it was easier just to forgo the truth for the sake of peace with our friends. But friends, God knows what is happening. He knows that even if things get worse, He's aware of it. And God will protect us through them. Later on in Jeremiah's life, Jeremiah is thrown down a well and left to die. And when they finally come to pull him out, his arms are so weak he can't grip the rope. And they almost dislocate his shoulders trying to pull him out of the well. But Jeremiah remains faithful to God despite it all. Now just think for a moment about another person that has been falsely accused. We've mentioned him already, the Lord Jesus. He ministered in this world for 3 years. He had many threats on his life. And the wicked people he spoke to often dismissed his message as blasphemy. And they refused to listen to it. People accused Jesus of breaking God's law. They wanted to stone him. And eventually, he's brought before a court that was illegal, and he's sentenced to death. All because he is doing what God wanted him to do. And what does Jesus say and do in all those places and circumstances? Well, as he's dying on the cross, he cries out and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Friends, however we share the gospel, whether we are preaching it here from a pulpit, whether we are talking with our neighbor over the garden fence, the gospel will create opposition. There will be those that don't like it. There will be those that try to shut us down. in the working world today, it's a general thought that you do not talk about politics or religion. Why? Because people are upset by Christians who come and tell them that they need to ask God to forgive them of their wrong ways. They don't like it when we stand up for the truth and speak against gay marriage. They don't like it when we speak against abortion. And we will face opposition to the message. So what do? Well, sometimes we just withdraw into our little churches and we enjoy our little holy huddles because we don't want to upset anybody. Just imagine for a moment if Jesus had done that when he faced his first opposition. Just imagine that person that shared the gospel with you and caused you to become a Christian. Imagine if they said, "Oh, look, I'm scared of opposition to the gospel. I'm not going to share the gospel." Where would you be today? Friends, the cost of obedience is high. We might be falsely accused. We might be threatened with death. But we need to stand fast. We need to continue to share what God has put on our hearts. We need to continue to pray to God, knowing that He is just and that He will deal with these people. So friends, think about this. Whatever pain we might face as a result of sharing the gospel, whatever pain Jeremiah had as he shared God's word, the Lord God has faced more pain when His Son Jesus died on the cross. Friends, don't stop preaching the gospel. Don't stop speaking the word of God because we face some opposition. Be faithful to the Lord. Bring your concerns to Him and live for Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank You for this passage this morning. Although perhaps this is one of those passages, Lord, that we actually don't like to hear, we pray, Lord, that You would help us to recall it, that there will be opposition to Your word, that there will be moments when we stand up for the truth and people don't like it. But Lord, help us not to give up. Help us to stand firm, not to fall prey to the Satan's temptation to give up, but help us to live for You. And we pray this in Your name. Amen.